Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Matt Preem, 24/7 Sports, tweeted this morning that he was getting on an airplane in Portland, Oregon. Let's check in and find out where he is now. Matt Preem, where are you, man?
I am laying on my bed in Dallas, Texas, trying to get away from the heat. It is god-awful hot here.
Thank goodness you said you're laying on your bed in Dallas, Texas. I thought it was going somewhere else. How hot is it? Like, let's set the scene for us.
I walked out of the airport, and it felt like I had just landed in the Phoenix airport in the summertime. Just like real just air dry whoosh of heat right into your face. It's pretty hot. It's close to triple digits, if not hotter.
I was surprised because you tweeted out there were a bunch of Duck fans on your plane. People are getting out of town right now. They're going to make it a 4 or 5 day trip out of it.
Yeah, my parents are ticket holders, and my parents they've landed now in Dallas as well. On my flight, there was 55 adults that were on my flight from Portland to LA that were Duck fans going to Dallas because our flight. We didn't have to deboard when we landed in L.A., so there was 55 of us on the plane, 54 plus me, going on the plane to Dallas. There's a lot. And there were when I was in the Portland airport, there was a Delta flight going to L.A. as well that morning, and there was a bunch of people waiting in Duck tickets in Duck clothes as well to get on that flight.
Biggest factor in this game is going to be what? Oregon-Auburn Saturday.
I think it's going to be Oregon's receivers. I mean, I've said this a couple times. I think it's kind of the obvious one, but sometimes the obvious thing is what you have to pick. And I think if Oregon can generate just some kind of a passing game, it doesn't even have to be over the top, 40-yard bombs and whatnot. Just a consistent passing attack where you can get 8, 9, 10, 11 yards. And have that be something that Auburn has to worry about, that makes Oregon's offense entirely different.
Justin Herbert, we watched him last year, and a lot of us were frustrated with play calling, or maybe it was he didn't have receivers to throw the ball to. What's going to be different this year, given that we also have concerns about play calling, and does he have receivers to throw the ball to?
I think he trusted his arm a little too much. If you're probably going to nitpick him, you're probably thinking last year he probably trusted his arm a little too much. I can throw this guy open. I can go for the deep ball instead of maybe taking the simple check down. I think that's where his growth will come from year three to year four. And then obviously he's had more command, even more command of the offense, going into his second year of crystal ball's offense, third year working with Marcus Arroyo. They've talked a lot about this fall camp, how he's now got total freedom to audible, and that's really kind of opened things up even more for the offense. And he knows now when to audible and when it's a good time not to audible.
Matt Preem, 24/7 Sports, is with us. Kayvon Thibodeau, are we going to see big things from him? Will he be a guy that we notice once in a while? What do you expect?
I don't think he starts. I think that's going to go with the senior Bryson Young. I mean, all of fall camp, every player raved about him on the defensive side. I asked Javon Holland who I should talk to during fall camp. This was about three quarters of the way through it. Of like when you're looking for stories, like who should I talk to? And he said Bryson Young, who I should say his actual name on the team is Blackhawk. And he just said that's a guy that's just totally changed his game. He's going to make an impact this season. Going to be a starter was what Holland said. But for Thibodeau, I think you'll see him. He will make plays. I'm not expecting him day one to show up and be a top 10 player on Oregon's roster. And that's probably a good thing because of the depth that would mean that Oregon's developed.
We're talking to Matt Preem, 24/7 Sports. Auburn's going to start a true freshman at quarterback in Bo Nix. Is this going to be a factor? What can Oregon do to make his inexperience a factor? When you heard that, what did you think?
I think so. I mean, I think that's a factor because Auburn's front seven is absolutely tenacious. Oregon's offensive line is maybe the best in the country. I think those are going to wash each other out. And when you're in a neutral site setting like this is going to be, what's the next factor? Well, probably quarterbacks. And Oregon's got a guy that's going into his fourth year as a starter, a guy that's going to be a top 10 pick in the draft. And Auburn's rolling out a true freshman. He was a five-star, but he's making his first career start against a really good opponent. And he might be good. We just don't know. I think, you know, go back to Herbert's freshman year, and he was really good. But he also made, you know, a lot of mistakes. And there's going to be times, you know, very rarely does a freshman show up and just instantly, you know, calm as a cucumber, doesn't make any mistakes, knows everything by the back of his hand. And if that's the case with Bo Nix, Oregon just tips your hat and, hey, you're really good. You're a once-in-a-generation type player. We'll see you down the road. I just, odds are in your favor that's not going to be the case.
Matt, I look at this game, and from an SEC standpoint, it is physicality. And from Oregon's standpoint, yep, there's the word that comes to mind is validation. What would it mean for Oregon to go 1-0 versus 0-1 in this game as a program? Recruiting-wise, does that have implications, all of that?
Oh, it'd be huge. And, you know, Oregon's coaches, Mario, you know, Cristobal talked about how they're not playing for the conference. They're, you know, they're just focused on themselves. And he understands the pressures that come with this game and the ramifications it could have for the league. But they're just worried about themselves. But even if they're just looking at it from an Oregon perspective, a win against Auburn, a team that plays in maybe the toughest division in all of college football, the SEC West, that's a top 20 program that's going to, you know, almost every year be in the top 25, and you beat them week one, this would, I think, put Oregon back. And I hate saying that because I make fun of whenever you see it on social media, Texas is back. I make fun of that all the time, but this game kind of has that feel to it for Oregon where you went into from 2009 to 2015, that 6-year stretch, you basically said to yourself, hey, look, Oregon's always going to be a top 10 team. They're always going to be at least in the discussion. They may not be a top 4 team in the country, but they're going to be in that discussion. And I think that was lost after the 2015 season, and it hasn't been, you know, we're not there yet. We haven't seen Oregon get back to that level yet. And I think this would be a big step, not only this season, but just the longevity of you know, Mario Cristobal's tenure at Oregon. It would have big recruiting ramifications, I think, of, you know, because the one ammunition thing that Oregon's opponents have right now is, hey, they're not winning the big, big game. Yeah, they won Washington, but it was at home, and then what happened the week after that? They flopped. You know, they aren't winning those really, really big games, and this is one of those really big games.
Matt Preem, 24/7 Sports, joining us from Texas in front of Oregon Auburn. Matt, you came on in the summer. I asked you about Oregon's failure last season to win games on the road, except for the Cal game. You said that was a real concern. What have you seen in fall camp, or what have you heard in fall camp that tells you Oregon is equipped, even on a neutral site against an Auburn team, to sort of put that behind them?
You know, this team's been laser focused for about a week and a half, 2 weeks now, on strictly Auburn. And you go back and watch all the interviews that are online and read all the stuff of what guys are saying. And, you know, they're not talking about the ramifications of this game and winning or losing. You know, they're not talking about, you know, hey, we've got to live up to this expectation of that Pro Football Focus is thrown out for our offensive line. You know, they're not worried about that stuff anymore. Everything is business approach. And I mean, some of the best guys on the team from an interview perspective. Shane Lemieux, a senior offensive lineman, Lamar Winston, a senior outside linebacker for Oregon. They are very good quotes. They're very smart guys. They know football, and they are very honest. And I walked away from speaking with both of those guys like they were boring. They were very, you know, on point, you know, focused of what the message at hand needed to be. You know, they weren't looking past anything. They didn't really give, and they don't give hot take, you know, responses anyways, but you know, you could get really good stuff from them. And they were just, we're worried about ourselves. We're dialed in. You know, we're just worried about getting better every single day. And, you know, Andy Avalos on Wednesday said Oregon had the best practice that they'd had leading up to that point throughout the entire month. Troy Dye said, well, we better. We need to have our best practice every single day. It doesn't need, you know, we just can't peak. We have to always get better. You know, I really like this business mindset that this team has and this approach of, you know, they aren't looking at anything beyond Auburn and anything outside of the program that's praising them. But they've shut that out completely.
You mentioned Andy Avalos, defensive coordinator. He's the new guy from Boise State. Are we going to end Saturday night talking about Avalos or talking about Marcus Arroyo? Which coordinator will be the subject, good or bad?
Avalos.
Good or bad?
Avalos.
You think Avalos?
Avalos. I think it's going to be Avalos. It just goes back to what I said earlier of, you know, Oregon's got a four-year starter at quarterback, and Auburn has thrown out a true freshman. And I go back to what Andy Avalos did against Oregon in the Las Vegas Bowl in 2017. And, yeah, there were a lot of distractions around that Oregon program because of the coaching change and who was staying and whatnot. And that certainly played a factor. Some guys didn't play. Royce Freeman didn't play in the game. But those are all excuses for why Boise State just kicked the living crap out of Oregon, you know, in that football game. And it was strictly, I thought, the defense that set the tone. And, you know, Oregon was confused. They were all over the place, not knowing their assignments, you know, blown assignments. And looking at, you know, what we've heard from the team, what we've seen from the team in practice when we were in during fall camp, I just get this feeling that Avalos is going to be I haven't seen a game, and I've bought into him. And maybe that's a little you know, horse ahead of the cart, or whatever, cart ahead of the horse, whatever line that is. But I just think he's a really sharp guy. He knows what he's doing. And I go back to Boise State's defenses, and they are tough. And they are aggressive, and they made a lot of plays.
When does Oregon get to town? Matt Prehm's already there. I'm not going till right before kickoff. When does the team arrive?
They arrive tonight. Sounds like they'll be getting here around 8:30 local time. They've got some day commitments they've got to do with ESPN tomorrow. They'll have a walkthrough at Cowboy Stadium, or AT&T Stadium. I guess that's the official name of it. And then the game will be played Saturday evening at 6:30 here local time and 4:30 West Coast time.
I'm looking at, I've said it before, 22-19 would be poetry, 20-17, 24-21. I keep seeing the score right in there.
Yeah, I was with you. I was with you all the way up until 2 days ago. And I just kind of feel like first games, you know, we're going to see, I think we're going to see some stuff where, you know, tackling isn't 100% locked in yet. You know, guys aren't 100% locked into their schemes. We're going to see some busted plays. You know, we saw it against Miami, Florida, guys that, you know, should have been wrapped up after 5 yards and you know, go 50 yards for a touchdown. I think we're going to see a couple of those plays in this game. That's going to make the score go a little bit higher than, I think, than the offenses really look like on the field. I'm picking Oregon 31-27. I think they go into the fourth quarter with a 2-score lead, and it's kind of, oh dear, can they hold on to the, you know, and keep the win until the very end, or does Auburn make a comeback and kind of steal it from them?
Matt, I wish you the best. I will see you in the press box. I appreciate you making time for us. And serving as a correspondent from there. Good stuff, man.
Thanks, John. I'll see you in the press box. Hopefully you get in time. We get some barbecue beforehand.
Yeah, but tonight. You got better barbecue in your driveway than they got in Texas.
oh, I don't know about that. You're just inflating my ego on that one.
I know. Prem, you're the best, man. Thanks for making time.
Thanks, John.
All right, there he is, live via satellite. I don't like the image of him lying on his bed. You know what I mean? I could have gone without that part of it. He should have said, I just arrived at my hotel. You got to censor a little bit.
Yeah, I'm in a robe.
Yeah,
I'm
on the- exactly. I had him in the robe with the slippers on, his feet kicked up. He's flipping channels while he's talking to us. I didn't need that, Matt. All right, leave it here. Some parting thoughts, plus some thoughts on Oklahoma State, Oregon State. I bumped Greg Bishop of Sports Illustrated to tomorrow's show. I can't do it. I can't put three guests in 40 minutes. So sorry for getting your hopes up there. Bishop is gladly coming on tomorrow. Also tomorrow, Eddie Pleasant, former Oregon linebacker safety who was at the wrong end of the Michael Dyer play. He'll be with us tomorrow as well. All right, yesterday on the show, we had Jonathan Smith, Oregon State football coach, who I asked if he wins the toss, what does he do? Does he punt? Or excuse me, does he kick? Does he take the ball? Does he defer? What does he do? Intern Jack, who's our analytics expert, did some work on this front and has created a chart that I'm going to tweet out. I'll tweet it because I also sent it over to Jonathan Smith, the Oregon State coach. So, Jack, there you go. You're an Oregon State kid. You're now apparently working for the football coach at Oregon State. What Jack found out, he took all 12 Pac-12 teams, their first game of last season, week one games, and he looked at the home team, the away team, the outcome of the opening drive, and the winner of the game. So, Jack, am I getting that all right to this point?
Yeah, that's correct.
All right. What made you do this? Nobody asked you to do this.
Just listening to Coach Smith yesterday, I thought, might as well look into it. It's not that hard. It was only 13 games of last year, and it was pretty easy to figure out who got the ball first and what happened and who won the game.
Somebody needs to hire Jack as soon as he graduates, the second he graduates. What's your degree in?
Mathematics.
Yep. Somebody get Jack hired. What do you want to do?
This. No, really anything.
We got to get you together with Dave Bartu, the College Football Matrix. We got to get you on the show next week. Get put your two brains together. Okay, here's what he found out. Utah was playing Weber State. The opening drive resulted in a Weber State punt. Weber State took the ball and punted. Got the ball and punted. Stanford had the ball first in their game. They missed a field goal. Colorado played Colorado State. Colorado took the ball to start the game and scored a touchdown. I want you to mark that down as one for taking the ball. Scored a touchdown. Ohio State, Oregon State. Oregon State had the ball to start the game. And people will remember Jake Luton fumbled snap. Drive ended near midfield. That was the kill of that drive. Oregon played against Bowling Green. Duck fans may remember that Oregon took the ball to start that game and punted. Auburn played Washington. Washington had the ball first, punted. USC played UNLV. UNLV had the ball first in that game, fumbled. Washington State played Wyoming. Washington State had the ball first in that game. They drove down the field and got a field goal. Are we going to count that? Let's count that as our second positive outcome for taking the ball to start the game. Two positive outcomes. California played North Carolina. North Carolina had the ball first in that game. Opening drive, punt. UCLA had the ball first in their game against Cincinnati. They also punted. Arizona had the ball first in their game against BYU. Arizona missed a field goal to start that game. And Arizona State played University of Texas San Antonio. Arizona State had the ball first, and they scored a touchdown in that game. I had thought that taking the ball first was the better thing. I'm now going, There's only three positive outcomes here.
Well, it still might be the better thing. We need to look at what it is with deferring. And I would count missed field goals. Those deserve partial credit as a scoring opportunity.
Okay, so let's look at scoring opportunities. Stanford missed a field goal. So there's one, two, three, four. There's five opportunities in the 12 games to score. So
seems low, though, doesn't it?
It does, but here's what I don't like. I don't like the two teams that fumbled, gave up huge field position, and also Jack went one step further in that he went to winner of the game, who won the game. The teams that punted in their opening drive ended up winning only one of five games. So if you went, if you took the ball and you had in your drive killed without a scoring opportunity, that happened five times, you went 1-4 in those games. We throw in the two teams that fumbled, we're now at 1-7. So if you punt or fumble in the opening drive last week, you went 1-7.
This is so interesting. I wonder if in at 13 is big enough.
I don't know if the sample size. Yeah. I don't know if the sample size is enough. It probably isn't. But I also would like to know if you punted, what happened on the ensuing drive with field position, or if you fumbled. In Oregon State's case, we know Ohio State went right down the field and scored a touchdown. But bottom line, all right, if you're Jonathan Smith, now that you have this data, because he has it now, I sent it over to him, you taking the ball?
Absolutely.
Jack says no. Jack, speak up.
No, I don't. I think there's too many errors that can happen in the opening season, opening drive, and you're better off just letting the other team mess up.
Let the other team make the mistake.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep an eye on that tomorrow night, Oregon State, Oklahoma State. All right, get a podcast of this show on SoundCloud, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever you get a podcast. You can get a podcast of the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show. Tomorrow, Eddie Pleasant on the show, former Oregon linebacker safety. Also, Greg Bishop from Sports Illustrated. And
we interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Faced
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.